I am the good shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord today calls himself the good shepherd. And this is a name which inspires much love and which shows forth his mercy. I wish to give today just a few thoughts on this topic of the divine good shepherd. First, our Lord has all of the qualities of a good shepherd. Just as the shepherd of little lambs, he owned the flock, so our Lord is owner of us all. In the book of Psalms, it says, he made us and not we ourselves. And also, it says in the Psalms, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He has infinite power and wealth to protect and enrich his flock. And thirdly, he is most loving shepherd and ready to do all for its welfare. So often you see images of shepherds going after their lost lambs. But our blessed Lord went to his crucifixion for us, his spiritual lambs. Secondly, he, our divine shepherd, fulfills all of the duties of a good shepherd. First of all, a shepherd must know his sheep. A really good shepherd can tell them apart, at least to some degree, and knows when one is missing. And so it is with our Lord that he knows and loves each one of us. He appreciates and values the souls that he has redeemed with his very own blood. And they say that this divine good shepherd took one look at his cross and then one look at us and said, you are worth it. You are worth all the pains that I will have to endure to keep you in my fold. He knows and loves each of us. Secondly, as the shepherd in truly pastoral countries would lead his sheep, he would not allow them to graze in front of him. Rather, he would actually walk in front of the sheep and lead them. So it is that our Lord led us by his example along the thorny paths of life. And he taught us all the virtues that we must have if we wish to persevere to the end. If we go through it today, know that he has already been through it. Thirdly, our Lord guides us to the best pasture lands, where there is the best nourishment that can be found. And so he has given us as our nourishment the pure doctrine of divine revelation. He has given us the sacraments. Particularly, he nourishes us with his own most precious body and blood. More green pastures than this cannot be found. Next, he protects us and remains with us. He does this by means of his guardian angels, which are with us at this very moment. He protects us more often than we will ever know in this life. He remains with us by his real presence on our altars, and he guards us by means of his priests who offer their advice. Next, he defends us against the wolf and the serpent. The wolf and the serpent may be anything in this world that can poison or destroy or harm in any way our immortal soul. So, for example, bad media, evil company, dangerous occasions of sin. He will always defend us against these wolves and serpents. And he does this by means of sermons and the preachings of the church. And lastly, our Lord as the divine shepherd seeks the straying sheep. He does not simply let them go, but he hounds them with grace after grace to get them to return. And he does this by means of the advice, or perhaps even the rebuke, of authority. Although this authority is often resented, it is nonetheless the good shepherd after his straying sheep. He goes after them by sending them the inspirations of his grace, or the gnawing pain of conscience that you feel after you have sinned, is God's way of seeking his little lost lamb. Or when he sends us some trial, it is his way of showing us the true road home. Our trials are often blessings in disguise. Such are the qualities that our Lord, the divine shepherd, shows, and the duties which he performs. But I would like to add my own random thoughts to this subject, that God, when he acts as the divine shepherd of your souls and of mine, he does not come down from heaven to earth in visible form. Rather, he uses his creatures to do his works. He picks up, just as we would pick up a pen to write a letter, so our Lord will pick up an instrument to do his work. This is not always seen. We are creatures of sense, after all. We want to see something before we can believe it. And so we often miss the divine shepherd when he comes. It's something like that little joke. Remember that when the man is on top of his roof of his house, and there's the water, the floods and everything, and, well, a helicopter comes and says, well, I'm here to help you, just grab on the ladder. No, God will take care of me. So the helicopter goes away, and someone else comes, a boat, and says, I'm here to help you get in the boat. No, God will take care of me. And the man finally ends up by drowning, and he gets to the pearly gates, and he asks our Lord, well, where were you, and why didn't you rescue me? And he says, I was there to rescue you. I sent you the helicopter and the boat. That's exactly what he does every day of our life. He is the good shepherd who has sent his shepherds before you. In the Old Testament, the shepherds were the prophets who were rejected and stoned. Their authority was resented. And in the New Testament, it is his priest who is the good shepherd, who leads the faithful lambs of Christ into paradise. Yet you will always see the shortcomings of the priest as a man and have a hard time following this priest. This is where faith becomes necessary. You must look beyond all of these shortcomings and see that God, from all eternity, has chosen the shepherds for you. And these shepherds were intended to lead you to heaven. And that is something that we can never forget. That goes for we priests as well. I must obey my shepherd, which is my bishop, Bishop Dolan. Now, I've been noticing a lot on social media lately how easy it is for people to sit behind their computers and type out and spew out some horrible attacks against the clergy. I've noticed it time and time again. And here is why I think the world no longer sees its priest as a good shepherd. You will see that whenever man has problem, he will go to his doctor and trust his doctor's decision because he was educated. You will see that he will go to his lawyer and he will get advice. And the man will perhaps trust him because he was educated. But when man comes to the priest, who is educated as long as any doctor or lawyer, in the things that pertain to the other world, we are to be ignored. Why is this? It is because this is the way that the modern culture is. We are all, to one degree or another, infected by this modern culture. And this is why we must be on our guard, not to allow our children to take part in the things of the modern culture, the modern world. Because they too will become very sincerely infected by all of the maxims that the world holds out, because they lie hidden under all appearances. Did you ever stop to think that priests and the church are no longer obeyed, no longer listened to, because of the Freemasonic ideals of the French Revolution? Did you ever think of that? What were the main ideas of the French Revolution? Liberty and equality and freedom. All the things that we Americans are so proud to be American about. Freedom, equality, liberty. Those are all, even though they do have some good effects, we here in America are allowed, without being persecuted, to practice our faith. That is a good effect. But the principles are bad. Has anyone ever stopped to ask themselves, what are we being liberated from? Freedom from what? From whom? The only answers you'll get is freedom from tyranny. Liberty from your enemies, your oppressors. That is all you will get. But the main thing is that, because these are all Freemasonic ideals, you are being freed from the yoke of God's commandments and the commandments of Holy Mother Church. You are free. You're at liberty. You have freedom of conscience now, so that you can do whatever you want and answer to no one. This is the reason why, by the way, our society is the way it is. All of these Freemasonic principles and ideals were infiltrated into Holy Mother Church in Vatican II. And so you see the effect of them in the church. And once the church has been taken out of society, all of society fell. And you look around and you read social media and see what it's brought us to. No one will even observe the most basic natural law, because these ideas of Masonic ideas of freedom is freedom from God's law, the law of the church, even from natural law. And you're left on your own. But this is part of what influences our mentality towards the priest. We don't recognize it, but it's true that we will go it alone, thank you very much. We know quite well how to get to heaven by ourselves. Or another reason why so many Catholics find it hard to listen and take the advice of priests is that they say that he has no authority and no jurisdiction since Vatican II. This is true. But it does not change the objective fact that God has made his shepherds and has sent them to you. If you wish to get to heaven, then you must do it by using the means that the divine good shepherd has given you, and that is his priests and his bishops. This is a most dangerous attitude, to think that just because there's no jurisdiction, that it gives everyone else the right to choose what is right and what is wrong. This comes up particularly with opinionism and whether or not it is right or wrong to go to the SSPX. It is objectively a mortal sin. But because we have no jurisdiction, some people say, we have no right to tell you that it is mortally sinful to go there. But no, that is false. We are your shepherds to warn you of the wolves, to keep you away and to lead you to heaven. We have been sent by Almighty God. Now, what are our duties to our shepherds? I will keep it brief and very basic because of what I have seen yesterday on Facebook and different social media. All of these attacks against the personal faults, if you will, of priests. All of these vicious attacks. The one thing that you should always recall is that because God has sent them as your shepherds and as his ambassadors and his representatives, you are never to attack the priest, verbally or physically. God is the judge of the priest, and the priest will have to answer very heavily for all of his shortcomings. He will answer very heavily. But it is your duty to show the respect that is due to the priesthood. When you show honor and respect to the priest, you are not showing it to the man. But as our Lord told St. Catherine of Siena, you are showing the respect to his sacred character of priesthood. And our Lord told her, as often as you respect the clergy, then you are showing respect to me. But as often as you are showing disrespect, then you are disobeying the divine shepherd. Disrespecting, rather. So this would be the first duty that I say. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let us recall all of the graces that Holy Mother Church, by means of her priests, has given to you and to your families. Reflect on them today. Thank Almighty God for these many blessings and many graces, and promise him fidelity and trust him in and his shepherds. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.